Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Steve Faub, my co-host, and later on in the program, Desiree will be calling. We're produced by David Tapia. This is podcast number 11. Today's date is February 2nd, 2006.
This F1 Weekly podcast is brought to you by Google AdSense and the Firefox web browser. The innovative Firefox browser makes surfing the web faster and safer. With the included Google Toolbar, features like autofill and spell check will make your browsing more convenient. Together, they'll change the way you use the internet for free. Just press the button on our homepage.
Thank you, Steve. Keep up the good work.
I'm trying.
Yeah, we need the funds. Anyway, how are you?
I'm doing well. How about yourself, Clark?
Excellent, excellent. Looks like Alonso was ahead during Valencia. Was it today or yesterday?
It depends on what part of the world you're in now.
That's true.
Because it was today for us, but it was probably yesterday for most of Europe at the time.
Yesterday's times. No, yeah, exactly. Wednesday's times. We should just say what day it is. But everything looks pretty good.
Yeah, they're definitely running well. Some interesting stuff in the blurb on the Valencia, the runnings in Valencia. A lot of low-speed runs, a little bit of fun and wonder, a couple people running around.
Running around?
I heard that Honda blew a motor.
Really? I didn't hear that. Keep up the good work, Steve. I like that.
Yep.
Well, Renault had some electrical trouble.
Yeah.
Colavalin.
Colavalin. Dead stop in the middle of the home straight.
Now, is that was with the electrical problems?
I think so. They didn't specify what his stoppage was in the article that I've got. Okay.
Well, it's very typical for the beginning of the season. There's going to be electrical gremlins. Usually they're not too serious. Any news on the McLaren V8 problems?
13th fat. De La Rosa was 13th fastest time. Juan Pablo in the 421 14th after Mercedes engine failure, but paid. Well, basically, they lost half a day to an engine failure.
Okay, so some engines are failing and some are not. Sort of typical.
Yeah, it's a lot of the stuff that you would expect to see at testing this time of year. You got guys, they're doing lots of laps, they're doing tire testing, you got cars falling by the wayside, you got guys just burning up the track. All the stuff that you kind of expect this time of year.
I can't wait till Super Aguri goes testing.
Yeah, I want to see pictures of that old arrow.
I want to see those old arrows out there.
Yeah, I'm very interested to see what their livery looks like too.
Well, I'm very interested to find out if there's going to be Honda engineers.
Well, they'll be in Super Aguri suits because
Super Aguri suits, writing down stats from the Bridgestones that the Super Aguri team is going to be running. I have a problem with Honda shod with Michelin's and the Super Aguri team, which is really a Honda B team, running Bridgestones. I don't see how Michelin or Bridgestone didn't raise up a red flag. But
you think Bridgestone would have went, yeah.
Well, I think there'll be complications. I think somebody's going to start
whimpering.
Well,
there's a lot of complications. They're already pushing the limit on, from what I understand, the Concord Agreement to state. Nobody can run two teams.
And you know what? I really don't care about that. Aguri is in. I want to see the old Aero cars upgraded. I just find it bizarre that they're going to run Bridgestones, especially since Honda has a lot of data on the Michelins that could be shared with Super Aguri. But on the other hand, I just think it adds another piece of excitement into the bouillabaisse. It
should be interesting, definitely.
Another defection from McLaren.
They're just kind of the whole place. I read a rumor the other day that somebody in Germany was saying that neither driver's coming back next year.
A chief designer, Nicolas Tombazis, has left McLaren and will start March 1st at Ferrari.
Wow.
I know. I've never seen an exodus of talent from a team in a long time, and I'm surprised. I mean, it happens occasionally. Gascoigne from Renault went to Toyota. I understand new challenges and everything, but McLaren, good salaries, nice place to work.
I'm really starting to wonder in whether or not if McLaren does not show well this year, whether or not Dennis still has a job at the end of the year.
I don't know. I think the political climate at McLaren could be quite stuffy.
Yeah, and the whole Alonso thing seems to have backfired on him in that he's kind of not destabilized Renault, but he's completely destabilized McLaren.
The Alonso thing was bizarre at best. The announcement, that is, so early in the season, and the destabilization of the company with this exodus of great talent, I think are pointers that Alonso may have made a big mistake.
Yeah, and he signed up for 3 years guaranteed.
Correct. So, I don't know. Things are changing at McLaren. They haven't won a championship in 7 years since the Mika Hakkinen days. Mika. Also, got to hand it to Max Mosley. He is now a chevalier dans Légion d'honneur de France.
Yeah, I had that one in my stack, too.
I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah. The Republic is tonight paying respect to the to your services to sport and automobile racing, the minister said.
Yeah, but the award is really not from France or the French people. It's strictly from the ministry, the French foreign ministry, which is head up by Philippe Douste-Blazy. And this award is put forward by that ministry and not by higher-ups in the government.
And it's not, like, voted on by
no, and it's pretty much a big party. Bernie was there. Other dignitaries from F1 were there.
You're actually saying that the Ferrari boss, Jean Todt.
Jean Todt, well, Jean Todt's, you know, he's French. He's in Paris quite often.
He's also...
He attends... He's seen coming out of Maxime's in Paris for lunch very often. Yeah. He's very well treated.
Yeah. It says that he received that award in 2001.
Correct. And the owner of Red Bull was there as well. So a fairly hoop-to-do kind of
thing.
Yeah,
pretty much a party.
Yeah, pretty much a party. Lots of cash. But, well, congratulations, Max Mosley. He is now chevalier dans Légion d'honneur.
Now get back to work and, like, write some real rules.
Yeah. But that's another point. Williams got a new test driver. They're getting another test driver from Brazil.
Oh, good.
They've lost Antonio Pisonia, and Williams always had some kind of Brazilian hanging around.
Kind of is that
and
South
this guy,
American.
This guy's pretty good. Japanese Formula 3 champion. His name is João Paulo de Oliveira.
Yeah, I saw that one.
So, and it's a sponsorship thing. Petrobras, I think, pushed Williams to test.
Is he driving all tests? Or he's driving? He's only like driving 9, isn't he?
What do you mean 9? What 9?
I think he's only driving 9 test races for him.
Oh, I have no clue.
Okay, yeah.
I know very little about it. This is just real recent news. But he is Formula 3 champion.
Yeah, he's got...
Japanese Formula 3, which is pretty cool. I sort of like some of the Japanese races. Also, Bridgestone is sponsoring the Formula 1 reporter contest. How do they put it? It's a good thing. I think it's great. Reporters, F1, I want to be one.
Dude, spell it. What are the details?
Man, could you imagine young reporting on F1?
Yeah, old reporting on F1. I can understand that, too.
Yeah, press passes, girls. I'm tearing up right now.
Yeah, girls close up to the cars.
I agree.
Chance to talk with the drivers and the principals and, you know, go find Shuey's engineer and go,
so,
okay, what did you do to get that extra
ten seconds
off the clock?
I say kudos to Bridgestone for having a great...
That's good PR stuff.
It's great PR stuff. Young journalists getting into F1, I think it's wonderful.
They'll be Bridgestone fans, I guess.
They probably get a free set of tires or something. Also, I'm really, really interested. What's I think fascinating is all of a sudden the GPMA is pretty much gone. It's over.
The article I've got pretty much has Bernie saying that he's pretty much got everybody appeased.
Yeah, everybody's appeased. Not only that, but everybody's kissy-kissy, lovey-lovey this year. I don't like it.
No.
I can remember when people hated each other. When you saw Schumacher in 98 at Spa when he was racing down the paddock to go beat up David Coulthard. Now everybody loves each other. The drivers like each other. Flavio every once in a while will knock Dennis down a little bit, but it's all pretty kissy-kissy.
Yeah, and reading this article a little bit deeper, it looks like Bernie just slapped him down and went, you guys don't have any right to more money.
So there you have it. So pretty much the Jeep, after this year, I don't think we're going to hear very much about
it. No, I think what you've got is you've got a situation where they've pretty much realized where they're at, and if they don't like it, they're going to just shut up shop and walk away.
I understand.
And not necessarily, you know, they're not going to give us the kind of cut in the revenues. And most of the teams that are well run are pretty close to breaking even anyway. They're not just pouring money in a hole.
Well, Flavio, I think, has done a good job in keeping a cap.
Yeah, well, I think that's part of the reason why Renault is far more interested in developing new drivers than ponying up big bucks to keep a driver or get a driver.
And one more thing before we go to a quick break. Now Renault has said that it looks like they're staying in Formula One.
Yeah, that's more all or less sudden, the rumor that's running.
All of a sudden, if everything is successful, everybody's happy, Renault is now saying that they'll stay in Formula One, and that makes me happy because, as everybody knows, I am the
Renault man.
I am the Renault man. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in 60 seconds. Hi, I'm Clark Rogers, host of F1Weekly.com's podcast. Please visit our website, F1Weekly.com, your fresh new destination for all your Formula One needs. F1Weekly.com brings you a weekly podcast that covers the latest news, rumors, and insightful commentary related to the pinnacle of modern motorsports, Formula One. You can find us on iTunes and other popular podcast locations. F1Weekly.com. Thank you. Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers, the host. Steve, how are you doing?
Doing good, Clark. Doing
we're going to bring in Desiree. She's just called us on the coast. We got her on hold.
Cool.
I think she's got a full report as usual.
She's got 2 pages worth of goodies today.
Right on. Okay, let me see if we can get her in here. Desiree, are you on?
Hello, Clark.
Hi, Desiree.
Hello, Clark. Hello, Steve.
Hi, Desiree.
Hi. It was so great to see you guys in person last week.
Yeah, that was exciting, huh?
Yeah, so now I just have to close my eyes and imagine your handsome faces around me like I had it last week.
My goodness.
Hello, Mr. Producer. Hello, F1Weekly.com listeners. I'm all on Twitter today.
Lots of news. What do you have for our listeners today, Desiree, from the coast of California?
From the coast. Well, it has actually been foggy all day on the coast and very, very cold. The only thing I have to warm me is all the news about F1. And my high boots.
High boots and news of F1.
Yes, exactly. It's the only thing they have to keep me warm here on the coast. Well, I just want to say get well to Kimi Raikkonen, who has a bad cold today. He has a cold. He had to leave testing today and had Juan Pablo Montoya had to take over.
He just wanted to go to
the testing there because he was sick.
Huh. But yeah. I thought
Gary Paffett.
I thought those Finnish guys just... you know, took a few shots of vodka and they were just fine.
I know, I'm surprised that he has a cold. Must be all that clean living he's been trying to do lately.
Yeah, week. I would get sick from clean living myself.
I know, exactly. So I just want to say get well to Kimi. But before he got a cold, he was having some concerns about Mercedes. I have to admit it. He was pretty tough about it last year with all the things that were blowing up and all the stuff that he had to fight through, and he pretty much kept a stiff upper lip, but he did voice his concern about the Mercedes engine.
Now, I was surprised and actually quite stunned that McLaren lets him speak his mind like that.
Well, he rarely did. I think that they owe him some speaking of mind after what he went through last year, and he said, like, that's just how it is in racing. We just have to move on. You know, he was always like that. I was, like, weeping for him, and he was pretty tough.
Yeah.
It's before the season. He's not really singing about McLaren. He's singing about Mercedes. So
okay.
He did voice some concerns. He said that he didn't think they are at the point they should be this close to the season.
Okay.
But he is pretty, you know, he's always kind of optimistic. He still says, you know, there's a few weeks left.
Very good.
Before the season starts. And the ITV F1 commentator, James Allen, predicted that McLaren, Mercedes, and Ferrari will lead the way in 2006.
Are you serious?
Yes, and this is like one of their panel experts.
Panel expert?
Yes, he spoke to Crash.net Radio, and he expected it to be another good season of F1 racing, it was.
I have a feeling this guy's buying tarot cards somewhere.
Or maybe he's gone around the bend. I don't know how old this guy is.
Yeah, okay.
James Allen, but he says he suspects Renault won't be able to defend their title. And this was just a few days ago.
Huh, that's legitimate.
But Renault's topping the charts, I admit it.
Yeah, but that really doesn't mean anything right now. We know that.
Yeah, we know that.
Because Honda is doing well.
Honda is, I am so surprised at how strong they're at the top of the charts every day.
Yeah, Ruby and Jensen.
Jensen's right up there, and they're all in the V8s, which I am so proud of them. They've already, you know, taken the helm of the V8s, and they're running with them.
I agree. They have two fully built cars.
Yes.
And I've been meaning to mention to you, mm-hmm. What is your thought about Ferrari still not having a second car completely built and won't until the middle of February?
I can't believe that. I was listening to your podcast where you're talking about it. I can't believe that either. Everybody knew, you know, that the V8s were coming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and as Steve mentioned, they have a whole dedicated team to do this. Why wouldn't they build two instead of one? You guys are both right, and I agree with you. I think maybe it's just hiding.
Okay.
They have it hiding somewhere because
it is a little bizarre.
That fast, you know, it's not,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they have all kinds of people backing them up for drivers. They have like five drivers now.
Some of
these teams have so many drivers. I had to write it all down today. You know, they have, besides just one test driver, they have the Friday driver, the fourth driver, the fifth driver. They have five drivers at Ferrari, five at Williams, if you count the João Paulo.
Exactly. I like that. That was an interesting name.
Yeah.
The Japanese Formula 3 champion.
Oh, that's who he is. Okay. So these drivers are coming in, and then Narain Karthikeyan for Williams.
Exactly. I was just looking at your outline, and you have Narain Karthikeyan in there.
Yes. He was assigned another one, a team that has a lot of drivers. He has paid his way.
You know, and that guy really, he brings in a huge fan base. People don't realize that his fan base is just unbelievable.
Yes, there's a lot of people in the continent of India.
Not only that, but Indians that are here in the United States, we've gotten some emails from Indians that are going to school here in America, and they are big fans of Narain.
Yes, because I was seeing his name. I'm like, well, the guy was kind of dropped. Why did I keep seeing his name on the websites? All the murmur about him is because he was building his comeback.
There are a lot of
fans. So he's ecstatic to be with Williams.
I saw the picture of his face.
Oh, yeah. He was smiling.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And if he could figure out the difference between the Williams car and the BMW car, would to get in the right car, that's what's already confusing me. They have one is white and blue and one's blue and white.
Well, the Williams has a lot more blue this year.
Right, but it's blue with a white stripe and the other one, the BMW.
Yeah, but it's a darker blue.
Well, sort of, but they're going fast. It's really hard to say, is that a midnight blue or a deep blue?
I understand. No. I understand.
One has Petronas on the side, one has Petrobras.
Yeah,
exactly. They look the same going fast too. Isn't that
what you wear as a Petrobra?
The Petrobra is with Williams. Excuse me, my Petrobra is on me, but the BMW has
right.
Petronas.
Okay.
Looks similar, yeah. So that was what I was going to talk about. That and
what do you have on Red Bull?
Okay, good. Red Bull. They're doing pretty well. Well, I have a little bit on Scuderia. I wanted to end up with that one. But on Red Bull, I have stuff.
Well, they got Prodromu from McLaren.
Yes.
But I was under the impression he doesn't start until 2007.
Yes. He will not leave McLaren until his contract expires later this year.
And I don't understand, once you've signed a contract for another team, your enthusiasm, it's got to come down a little bit when you're working another year at McLaren, even though you know you're going to Red Bull.
Well,
I'm surprised McLaren just doesn't walk this guy right out and say sayonara.
Well, conversely, Fernando Alonso's made a speech or whatever. He has pledged to give 100% to the Renault team.
Well, I think he will, because I think it's a different situation when you're a driver, because you're in the limelight. People see you every day.
And you're always racing for your next job.
So I think I believe Alonso, and I actually have 100% confidence that, and so does Flavio Briatore. Bravo, bravo, bravo,
yes.
Bravo.
Flavio though couldn't help, you know, get more comebacks.
Yeah.
About
I don't know. I see problems for McLaren. Let's jump from Red Bull real quickly and go right to Montoya.
Yes, exactly. Montoya is walking the street, working his magic on the corner, looking for a new sugar daddy already. He said, forget it. If I'm not going to wait for them to tell me, I'm going to go out.
Well, I think he knows he's out.
And work the streets, So he's trying to make it look. I was talking with one of my contacts in the UK, Hello, NR in the UK. That's what you said. I was on assignment. I was building some contacts on the other side of the pond, and I was chatting with the gentleman, and he was. We were talking about that. You know, you want to make sure that it seems like it's your idea to leave versus get the boot. I think it's better that way. Better for your ego to say, I'm the one going to go.
That's true.
Before the boot's on your behind. So that's probably what he's doing. Like, oh, it's my idea. I'm going, you know, so.
Yeah, but if he comes up with a good idea this year, is he going to implement it or is he just going to put it in his back pocket for his next job?
Pardon me?
If he comes up with a good idea this year.
Yeah.
Is he going to implement it, or is he just going to put it in his back pocket to use when he gets to his new job?
Well, yeah, well, he, you know, he said if BMW or Ferrari approach him, you know, he's willing to talk to them, of course. But those are the kind of names he was dropping. BMW, Ferrari, and I don't think he said Williams, because I don't think he parted on good terms with Williams.
No, Montoya will never go to Williams.
No, they did not get along over there.
And not only that, but Montoya, people, these guys want to win championships, and right now Williams is not in that position. Neither is BMW. I see Toyota, Honda, Renault, Ferrari, McLaren.
Yes, exactly.
Those are the five.
Kimmy, he didn't say Honda, but I think he needs to update his ideas. Kimmy says he expects a four-way fight between Montoya, Alonso, Michael, and himself.
See? But now it's interesting. The guy you said at ITV, he sees McLaren and Ferrari up front.
Right.
Now, I would much rather listen to a driver's opinion who's there right now seeing the testing.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
And he says the same thing as well, but then he puts Alonso in there because, you know, that he fought with them all year. He knows.
Mm-hmm.
But even Kimmy, though, he says like a lot of people are forgetting Honda, Red Bull, and Toyota.
Yeah.
A lot of teams are getting really strong.
And I think Red Bull is going to do well this year. They've got the Ferrari motor, and if they could get that Ferrari motor to sing, even though Ferrari customer motors usually never do extremely well.
Right.
Because they're factory seconds.
Yeah.
They get the factory seconds.
Exactly.
They get the Ross dress for less motors.
Exactly. They are the Ross dress for less motors.
Right. They are. You know, but, you know, they can say they got it at Ross.
Very good. Very good. I mean,
Christian Kleen did well yesterday.
And he's a good driver.
Yeah. He's cute, too. He's cute.
Kid.
He did about fifth, I think, today in Valencia.
Really?
Yes.
My goodness.
Yeah. I was surprised by that.
All right, let's jump now to Bernie Ecclestone.
Oi.
Now you've got something
so big deal,
about the GPMA, the Rebel Breakaway manufacturers.
Yes, yes.
Give us the scoop on that.
Chris, he's cutting them a deal.
He's cutting them a deal. I like it.
60% of the share of profits is what he's offering to give the Rebels.
And apparently there are two teams that are still in opposition.
Yes, the German team, BMW and Mercedes. Remain in opposition.
And they're opposed to it for what reasons, do you know?
They are not saying, but everyone thinks it might be about money.
They don't want to lose one of their GPs.
Huh.
It says, yeah, that leaves only BMW and Mercedes, but the outgoing Renault boss, Patrick, how do you pronounce it?
Patrick Faure.
Yes, Faure. He hinted that said this will be a resolution to the split, you know?
Right,
he's still
right.
Talking, even though he's on his way out. So
very good.
I think it sounds like a good deal.
I think it's going to be a fine deal, and I think right now all I hear is a lot of lovey-lovey, kissy-kissy. Everybody's getting along just fine.
Yeah, I saw a picture of,
the fight's over.
Of Flavio and Bernie.
Yes, it's just a big orgy of love.
It's a love fest. And even Max Mosley is placing pressure on the teams to go over that 60% deal.
Right, right.
Which we read the article, Max Mosley was honored.
Yeah, we picked that one up.
I was wondering about that. Figured that you would.
Yeah.
It's those French, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. What's up with the Ferrari's rear diffuser?
Oh, yeah, exactly. They were contributing the problem in the 2005 season was due to their rear diffuser, and they have redesigned it. So now, you know, Schumacher is very optimistic. And he feels that this car this year is further ahead than the car was last year at the same stage. So maybe they found what was doing it.
Well, I think the V8 and the lower center of gravity with the rear the teams have had to contend with has made a better handling car, to be honest with you.
Yeah, we're going to get a lower center of gravity that's going to make a car.
To be honest with you, I think the season's going to be exciting because I think we are going to have a little bit more overtaking.
I know Giancarlo is like really likes the way that the V8s are built.
Yes, Giancarlo is a happy guy.
And
Giancarlo, he's pumped up.
He is. And Flavio now, who's like two-timing, I don't know, Flavio has told Giancarlo to get nastier.
I love that.
I know, getting nasty, but Giancarlo said that's not his way. Flavio, of course, is nasty, as we all know, but so now he's on Giancarlo's side, even though he's the pimp.
Well, that's because Giancarlo...
For Flavio. I mean,
Flavio will always repay loyalty.
Uh-huh.
You show a little loyalty to Flavio, he's going to get you a championship.
Well, I don't know why he treated Yarno so poorly.
But don't forget that in the days of Benetton, 1994,
yes.
Schumacher wins the championship.
Yes.
1995, Schumacher drives for Benetton one more year, but has already signed for Ferrari the following year.
Uh-huh.
What does Schumacher do in 95? Wins another championship, even though he everybody knew he was going to Ferrari. So Flavio has gone through this before.
Yes.
He's an experienced man.
Yes.
And he there's no way. I think it's going to be tougher for Fisichella because Fernando's a good driver.
He is a very good driver.
I think it's going to be a situation of luck. If all of a sudden the tables are turned and Alonso finds himself stalling in the pits or anything in that vein, I think Fisichella does have a good chance. Let's not forget, Fisichella won the first race last year in Australia.
No, that's what Giancarlo said. I can't be nasty, but I would like a little bit better
luck. And, yeah,
exactly luck.
So I'm pretty excited about that. Now, let's go to Midland MF1.
Boy, those guys. Now, whoever does the marketing for MF1, I wish they would help us here at F1Weekly.com because those guys get all the sponsors.
They do, and they just got one of my favorite websites.
Yes. Yes, yes, exactly. And first I was going to talk about what the other sponsor they have. They have, because I have to talk about clothes. I'm a girl. They have signed on some... traditional Italian tailors to be one of their sponsors, Cesare Attolini,
now,
Italy's leading traditional tailors.
I was confused. I thought maybe this particular designer was actually going to design the suits and uniforms for.
That's what I was hoping because like Tommy Hilfiger.
You're right, exactly.
Before, now it's Fila. Ferrari was designing, but they didn't say. I think they're going to be a sponsor, but I was hoping they would put a little Italian flair in the outfits as
okay,
well.
Okay, so it's just a sponsorship. They're not designing new.
Not that I could tell, but they're just trying to tie it in thing. As I say, F1 is as much about style as it is about technology,
mm-hmm.
And F1, also embodies tradition, and so does this Italian. Tailor, they're a traditional Italian tailor.
Very
That's
cool.
That's one that they have in their pocket. And then the big one is F1Racing.net.
F1Racing.net.
As you mentioned, right. That's a pretty good website. I look at it all the time to get information.
Me too. And you mentioned to me earlier today that you think that website is actually of Dutch origin?
Yes. I noticed they recently revamped their website, and their theme colors are blue and orange. Orange, as we've been talking about, House of Orange. So their colors are blue and orange. They're sponsoring MF1 Racing, and also in addition to that, it's the only place on the web that you can buy Christian Albert's aftershave.
Mm-hmm.
Christian Albert's
has aftershave.
Yes, the best driver.
Oh man!
And on their website, you can purchase Christian Albert's anti-aging night cream, body spray, and body.
Don't worry.
Nowhere else can you get it.
F1Weekly.com is now working on Clark Rogers body cream, and we'll get that out pretty soon.
Yeah, the anti-aging. I think we need.
No, I think in Clark's case it's the opposite.
Now I've got to bring this up. Biaggi, Rossi, what's going on with these MotoGP guys?
Oh yeah, well Schumi has come out and made statements that he thinks Rossi can do it. Even though he spun his first day, but it's been very, very rainy over there in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's giving him a thumbs up.
Now Schumacher...
When I first saw him, I go, who's that Muppet that they have driving the Ferrari? He had that little curly Muppet.
Yeah, he looks funky.
He reminded me. I'm like, now, in America, we have Round Table Pizza, and they have these two puppets that are, that they're, hawking some pizza. And I'm like, it's the Round Table Pizza Muppet.
Well,
and I'm like, who is this Muppet character? But Shumi has kind of given him a nod and said that he can do it.
Well, Valentino did spin on his first day. It was raining.
Raining, right.
But on his second day, he did rather well.
Yes, he did rather well. And everyone says he's got the bravery factor.
Yeah, even though he was driving the championship-winning F2004 with the V10.
Right, they're just pretending they never had that.
Well, the problem is they were comparing the times of Rossi against everybody else, and yet, you know, he had 20% more horsepower, but I still think he shows a lot of talent. He shows a lot of testicular fortitude to go out there.
Yes.
And while we're talking about some of these Moto Grand Prix guys,
right,
I just want to throw in a real quick plug to some of our friends. www.roadracerpodcast.com, a blog and podcast covering motorcycle road racing, AMA news, interviews with racers, and amateur road racing adventures. John Bunce, the host, has agreed to run our promo on his upcoming podcast. If you want more information, we have added his link to our website, f1weekly.com.
Excellent. Yeah, those guys are brave. They're, you know, because they're going as fast as they can.
Yeah, but
without a car around them.
Biaggi was pretty nasty when he first saw Rossi spin. I mean, I could
totally, you know, Italian cat fighter.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Because
here's the line: I could have explained to him how to keep a Formula One car going straight.
Well, Rossi, but they, you know, they are really plugging to Rossi. He might be expected to race for Ferraris early next year.
But you know what? I saw Biaggi's test online, and it was excellent. It was in the wet. He was doing laps, and he didn't spin it.
Wow!
So, kudos to Biaggi. He's
but
he's,
we don't know what kind of times he was putting.
No,
up. Was he really?
And it was an MF1. It was. I don't know very much about if it was a V10. There were not that many details. Yeah, yeah. But he did well. So obviously, John Surtees is not the only two-wheel race car driver, two-wheel motorcycle driver that went into F1 with success. I think we're going to see more of these guys because they are severely talented.
Yes, yeah. And brave.
And brave.
And brave, yeah. They have the TF, you know, your testicular fortitude.
Testicular fortitude.
And they're in a GP, you know, motor
exactly.
GP, GPA. So, yeah, they're doing really well. Mm-hmm. So, those guys. So, kudos to those guys.
Very good.
Proud of them.
Also, I know you want to talk about Honda's reliability.
Honda has been, I am so impressed with Honda. They are doing really, they are very reliable. They're in the V8s only. They're very reliable. They're at the top of the, you know, at the testing time. And, you know, the two guys are getting along terrific.
Yeah, not to rain on that parade, but they blew a motor today.
Oh, they did today?
Yep.
I did not hear that today. I'm just trying to update before I came on the air, but...
Yeah, uncharacteristically blew a motor.
You sure you weren't thinking about Williams, because they blew...
No, it was on F1 Central recap.
Well, that's... Well, I guess they're allowed to have one, because they have been doing
and
so
And apparently
well.
Frank Williams has tipped Jenson Button to win races in 2006.
Yes, I like Jenson. We like Jenson, and he needs to win something. He really needs to win a race. He has, you know, 100 races under his belt. And no win yet. So and he used to, you know, Frank Williams was the one that was, you know, in the tug of war with Jenson Button. So you think that he would say not so very nice things about him now?
Right.
He's actually
right.
saying nice things.
I like,
they're one of the strongest contenders.
I like Frank. You know Peter Windsor, right?
Yes.
Of course. Well, let me give you a piece of trivia to our listeners and Desiree on the coast. Peter Windsor sat next to Frank Williams when they had the accident that left Frank Williams paralyzed.
Oh. In the car, you mean?
Yes, when they had the car accident.
Oh, wow.
Yes. I just thought I'd pop that out. A lot of people don't know that.
No. No, I knew that he was an auto accident. That's why he has his disability now.
And I have to credit that trivia from our good friend Alwin Van Doon in Holland.
Oh, there we go.
He sent us some great trivia, and I'll be sharing this trivia with our listeners throughout this podcast and some of the future podcasts. He's got so many here, and they're good. It's good stuff.
I wonder if he has the Christian Albert's aftershave.
No, he doesn't have the aftershave. Desiree, that's
I
your
just have to get some.
That's your department. Aftershave.
I like the smell.
Cosmetics.
Man, yeah.
I think that's very important.
Yeah,
also. Also, we want to tell our listeners that Desiree's official picture is now up on the website, f1weekly.com.
Yes, just, yes, I've come out of the closet.
She's out of the closet, yes. And congratulations, Desiree. We wanted to keep her a secret for a while.
Is she more out of the garage?
They want to keep me under wraps.
Is she more out of the garage?
Give a little hint of things to come. But I'm out of the closet, and I'm fully on the website at the bio area, the About Us.
Yep, take a look at Desiree's bio, her picture. And she happens to be posing next to a 1956 Porsche, I believe. Or is it a 55?
It's a 356. It's a B. It's a 56.
Okay, there you have it.
Thank you. And then we had a listener write in, and I think you're going to read his email later on.
Okay.
But he wanted to hear, he was from the USA, he wanted to hear a little bit about Scott Speed. Because he's the only United States driver that's currently in the driver's
lineup. How is Scott doing?
Scott, well, we all know he has a health problem.
He's got a health problem?
Well, yes, he has.
I didn't know that.
He came out with that he has colitis.
He's got colitis?
He has colitis, yes, which is an intestinal problem that can be really, it gives you severe, intestinal spasm, and really it makes you feel very, very sick and everything. And he's been fighting that, and sometimes it's very hard for him to drive. So that's why he's like extra special that he has persevered and worked through it. He's found some good treatment. So he has colitis, but he's a fighter. He's an American, and he's working through that. And he's with Scuderia Toro Rosso, the Red Bull second team. And he wants people in the United States to know that because, NASCAR is prevalent in the United States, though not with anyone here at F1Weekly.com. We don't really watch NASCAR. I sure don't. But so he's trying to tell the Americans that he wants us to understand that he doesn't really expect to win races with Toro Rosso, but he has a goal to score points.
Yeah.
He says, podium's not realistic at this stage.
That's good.
Definitely points. And on a personal level, he wants to beat his teammate because that's an important part of the F1 game.
And his teammate is?
Vitantonio Luizzi.
Oh, that Luizzi.
Yeah, the one that was with the other driver.
Correct.
If it was Red Bull, now he has his own spot there at Toro Rosso. They call them the young Toros.
Okay, great. So Scott Speed's going to be doing great. We have an American in the U.S. Grand Prix.
We have a native Californian.
A native Californian?
Yes, he's from California. Exactly.
He's from Manteca.
Yep.
Right up the road, which is really pickup truck country.
Yeah,
but
we busted out and went into the formulas and went into Europe and stuff.
Wasn't that
running the V10?
That go kart track that you were looking to take your son to?
That was in Atwater.
But Atwater is out in that direction.
It's out in the boonies.
Atwater's north, I believe. Eh?
Yeah, something like that. But anyway, so
their squad is running the V10, the
correct.
Cosworth.
So they have a good chance to be up on the grid, and I think they're going to bring in a lot of viewers to the U.S. Grand Prix. Local Americans. See, people forget there's a lot of people that live close to the Speedway. They can just drive over there.
Yes.
And I'm going to tell our listeners on the second half of the show, or the third of the show,
mm-hmm.
about flights to the U.S. Grand Prix, because I know Desiree doesn't have a flight yet.
No, not yet.
I know Steve Faub doesn't have a flight yet.
I almost booked one today. But
so anyway,
so
you guys need to listen to me.
We
after we come
have
back
our own
from
American
the break,
out there.
I'm going to give you prices on flights,
excellent.
Hotels, rental cars, and everything else.
And maybe good bars to go to. Oh,
bars. I got bars. I got everything. So anyway, we got to wrap this up.
Since the very first year.
Mm-hmm. I've been going for this will be my seventh year.
Yeah, you've been going ever, and I've been waving goodbye to you guys every year. And you and our friend David would go, bye-bye. Mm-hmm. But every year I've been wanting to go, so I'm hoping this year is my year.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what to do, when to do it, and how to do it.
And I will say, yes, sir, Mr. Clark, sir.
Exactly. So anyway, we're going to wrap. Okay, we're wrapping the second section of it. The podcast. Desiree, thank you so much.
Aloha, F1Weekly.com listeners. And thank you to my source in the UK, Mr. NR.
NR, keep up the good work. We need that help. Also, I want to thank Willem in Holland. Thank you very much. Appreciate. Keep the emails coming. We're going to take a break now, Steve. We're going to have a glass of water.
Yep.
Bye, everybody.
Sure.
Okay, see you later, Desiree. Bye.
Bye, Desiree.
We'll be back in 60 seconds.
Check out the next episode of Road Racer Podcast, the podcast about amateur motorcycle road racing, AMA news, and interviews with motorcycle road racers. I'm your host, John Bunce, an amateur motorcycle racer. For more information, check out roadracerpodcast.com.
Hi, this is Steve with F1Weekly.com. Our podcasts are brought to you by Google AdSense and the Firefox web browser. The innovative Firefox browser makes surfing the web faster and safer with the included Google toolbar and features like autofill and spell check. It will make your browsing more convenient. Together, they'll change the way you surf the internet for free. Just click on the button on our homepage.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. I'm Clark Rogers, the host of the program. I'm joined by Steve Faub. Okay, now we're going to get into the U.S. Grand Prix. Why everybody needs to attend. Prices, hotels. I'm doing this because it's early in the season. It's a good time to get organized, and you have to get your stuff done now. If you don't, you'll either not go or pay through the nose. So I'm going to start off this segment by reading an email from Jamie. He's in Missouri. Hi, F1 Weekly. I went to the U.S. Grand Prix in 2003 with my dad and my brother. We purchased tickets in advance for race day. We sat in Oval Turn 1, the last turn of the F1 circuit. It was pretty cool seeing Formula 1 cars go through there backwards in the rain. For qualifying and practice days, we just bought general admission tickets at the tunnel. You can see pretty well from the berms along the middle straightaway, Holman Boulevard. The Porsche Supercup Series was at the U.S. Grand Prix in 03. I believe the BMW Formula 1 Series, BMW Junior Formula Series, the Star Mazda Series, along with the Infiniti Pro Series, the Indy Racing League's development series. The support races were certainly better than the F1 race. I have to stop there. Jamie, what in tarnation are you talking about?
I think he's talking about last year's race.
Well, he's talking about a number of years' races. I watch some of the, like the Super Cup, they used to have the Ferrari and the BMW Juniors. The F1 race is always the best, guys. Come on. I mean, I don't know what you're doing, Jamie, but I have to disagree. Indianapolis Raceway Park has a road course, 0.66 mile oval, and a drag strip. The Indianapolis Raceway Park is the headquarters for the NHRA. He's referring to the Indianapolis Raceway Park. It's actually a very cool place, and you guys should call before you get to Indianapolis or when you arrive at Indianapolis, because there could be races scheduled there the week before, during the week, and after the F1 U.S. Grand Prix. Their phone number at the race park is area code 317-291-4090. 317-291-4090. Thanks for the email, Jamie. I really appreciate it. You give us some more interesting details. Our show is just not long enough to read the whole email, but we thank you for the email. Great suggestion. And that's why I'm going to get into the U.S. Grand Prix, why you need to go, and why you need to book your flights, book your hotel room, get your rental car, because you're going to need a car. Things are spread out in Indianapolis. And the cheaper your hotel, the further away from downtown and the speedway. So anyway, we're going to get into flights right away. I just booked my flight 2 weeks ago. Now, luckily, I live in the San Francisco Bay Area. I'm close to three international airports, so I have my choice. And actually, I decided to spend a little bit more money and fly out of San Jose instead of San Francisco. It would have even been cheaper because I'm booking early. We're talking almost 6 months. Now it's down to 5 months. I paid $300 round-trip ticket to Indianapolis with a layover in Atlanta. And what I do is I take the red eye and I arrive at Indianapolis Thursday morning at 8. So I have time to pick up my rental car, drive to the race, the speedway, and do the paddock walk. This is the ideal scenario. Now, a lot of people have to work, I understand, but I'm just going to give you the ideal scenario. So this is what you want to do. You want to book your flight. I use major carriers. Delta, United, Continental, they all have flights, but you're always going to have to change planes. Very few flights go directly to Indianapolis if you're on the East Coast or if you're on the West Coast, but I'm sure some of you, depending on where your location, those prices are going to fluctuate. But if you book now, you can get a $300 range. If you wait a month, it's going to go up to $500, And there's just no excuses for that. Book now. Now, there's also a way to save money. You don't have to necessarily fly into Indianapolis. You could actually fly into Cincinnati, which is only an hour and a half. You rent your car in Cincinnati, you drive to Indianapolis, and I've done it that way a number of times because Indianapolis is actually a bit of a smaller airport than Cincinnati. Cincinnati shares its airport with Kentucky. It's right there on the border of Kentucky and Ohio. And that's a very convenient way. You see some of the countryside. In an hour and a half, and there's no traffic, trust me, you're in Indianapolis. And I did that twice in a row, and it worked out really, really well. And you can save between $60 to $100 on your ticket. But I prefer landing now in Indianapolis International Airport. And the reason is I get my hotel at the airport now. I stay at the Holiday Inn at the airport. It's a nice Holiday Inn, internet access, clean rooms. There's a lounge. You have to think about what you're doing, and you have to think about it. This is going to be a vacation. Also, if you book early, that's not going to help you with the prices on the hotel.
Yeah, because they know it's a race weekend.
Indianapolis is a race town. Indianapolis is a race town, and they know there are just dates that nothing changes.
Most of the hotels are built in Indianapolis to carry race traffic.
That's all they do. They have,
you know, they're like 10% booked the rest of the year, and then they're 100% during the races.
Correct, and they only have three races at the track. So they need to make their money every time there's a race. That's why I also believe that the race will come back. The U.S. Grand Prix will be signed. Bernie will do a deal with Tony. He will bring back the Grand Prix next year. So this is what you need to do. You need to go online to www.indy.org. You could actually book your hotel room, and they have a way where they've categorized them from high end to low end. And I'm just going to give you some prices right away. The Malibu Suites in downtown Indianapolis, very specialized, $9,600 a night. That's a bit high.
Yeah, but you might be able to bump elbows with race car drivers if they're charging
that much. I seriously doubt it. Now, the Econo Lodge downtown is pretty cool. It's $200, but you need to book early because a lot of these are sold out. Days Inn downtown, already sold out. Radisson Hotel City Center, sold out. Renaissance Tower Historic Inn, sold out. Best Western City Center Hotel and Suites, sold out. All Nations Bed and Breakfast, sold out. Now, the Super 8, which is west of downtown, $150 a night. That's a good deal, but they'll be sold out very soon. Hyatt Regency, $150 to $400. Downtown, very nice. Holiday Inn Select at the airport, $200 a night. Very nice. It's 8 miles from the track, about 6 miles from downtown.
And it's probably almost sold out.
Exactly. Oh, yes, absolutely. Hampton Inn downtown, $320. Not sold out yet. Go to the website, www.indy.org, and there's a lot of information there.
You can also just go to your favorite travel site too.
Exactly.
All those come up, and you know you can get a selection.
The rental car is going to be the easiest. The rental car is really easy. Just get that right after you book your flight from the airport, and I've never had a problem getting a car.
They probably bring in a bunch of cars just for that weekend.
Correct. Also, beer and liquor and wine. Don't forget, it's 21 in Indiana. Second, you cannot buy spirits of any kind on Sunday. So you need to get anything you're going to bring to the racetrack, and you can bring canned beer, wine put into plastic coolers, or you can bring an ice chest 14 by 14 by 14. They allow that. They'll search, but as long as you don't have any glass, you're cool. You're cool to go. So bring your mixed drinks. I also recommend bringing food because food is a little expensive, but I do like to get my Indy dog and my big can of Foster's occasionally. And in the morning, the Bloody Marys are flowing fairly early. Also, parking. You can set up your parking from the website, www.indy.org. Get that done early because one year I was towed. I thought I was being smart. I thought I was beating the man. And actually, I got towed and it was a big drag.
Got beat by the man.
I got beat by the man. I didn't like it. Downtown activities. There's a lot of cool stuff downtown. Now, a lot of the bars are on Meridian Avenue. But also, if you just stick to downtown, my favorite Irish pub is Clada Irish Pub. Very, very cool.
Do they have our favorite beer there?
No, I can't remember. I usually have a Guinness.
Yeah.
You know. But there's a lot of great restaurants downtown. You can go on the website, click on restaurants. They also have those distributed from high end to low end. It's very, very nice. Don't miss out. Now, also, if you get there early, like I said on Thursday, Friday, downtown at the Circle Monument, there's going to be a Ferrari gathering. It's going to be at 3:30 to 7 p.m. You can call ahead at 317-769-7421 and get the details. Also, the classic Jaguar display will be at Monument Circle. All these things are free, and I believe that's going to be on Saturday from 1 to 7 p.m. There's also a lot of concerts. Go to the website. There's also museums at the Speedway. The Hall of Fame Museum is excellent. The Speedway Museum is located at the south end of the infield. They have cool race cars, not just Indy stuff. They've got everything. Very, very impressive. Admission is $3 adults, children, $1. So please, get your tickets to Indy. You really need to go. Scott Speed's going to be there. You don't want to miss it. It's cheap. The most expensive tickets for the race are $150. Practice day, quali day is $25 a day. And the seats are outstanding. And make sure you walk around the whole track. And if it's your first time at Indianapolis, I've been to Spa, I've been to Manicou in France. Indianapolis, for me, is the most well-organized, clean. It's just a great facility. And Americans and Europeans take advantage of this. It's the best deal. I paid $350 to get into Spa, and I sat in mud, and I was happy. So please, get there early. Also, get there early in the morning. The gates open at 7 a.m. Friday and Saturday, 6 a.m. on Sunday. Also, bring scanners. If you're interested in listening to Speed, there's foreign language TV stations that are hooked up for the scanners. The scanners' frequencies are easily found. I believe it's f1scanner.com. Also, bring walkie-talkies if you're coming with a group of people. That way, it's a huge place. You're going to get lost, and pack a lunch.
Sounds like fun.
I'm telling you, you want to pack a lunch because it's a long day. Get there early, and when you get to your hotel, you just want to sleep and actually watch TV and get the news on the race. It's exciting. So anyway, there you go. That's my coverage. And like I said, www.indy.org. And we might put that link on our website because it has a lot of information that'll help you organize your trip to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Okay, we're going to pass it up to Steve. He's got some emails to read.
Do a quick couple quick ones here. We've got a couple of nice ones from some of our listeners. The first one is from Simon. Hi, I enjoyed listening to your podcast and wondered where and how you broadcast from. A studio? Through a PC? If through a PC, wow, I'm impressed. It surely sounds like two mics with a headphone in a studio. Because it sure sounds like Speed TV or something just as professional. Toronto. Thank you, Mr. Producer. Simon's from Toronto. Actually, Simon, we'd really like to thank How Productions, a friend of Clark's, for providing us with some equipment that's greatly improved our...
Thank you, Matt, at HAL Productions.
Yeah, because our production values have gone up significantly. And then the second one I've got is from Anthony in Naples, Florida. Great podcast. I prefer yours over the others. Yours is a bit more on track and professional, less BSing about drinking beer and stuff. If I want that, I'll hang at a bar. As long as you guys stay on topic and don't chase rabbits too much, I'm pretty satisfied. I don't think you do that now, just something to keep in mind. Thanks a lot for all the hard work, Anthony in Naples. Hey, thanks, thanks, Anthony. That's a great mail, and it's good to hear that people like the format that we're pursuing in kind of sticking to F1 and the news of F1 and kind of providing our limited insight into what F1 is about and what's actually happening.
Exactly. Thank you very much. Steve, keep up the good work. I also want to mention A1 Grand Prix page is now up and running on our website. A1 is going to be coming to our neck of the woods. We're going to try to get into the race and cover it. I think there's some exciting things happening. Jos Verstappen won the race in Durban. That was his first win since he won in Formula 3000. So, I mean, I was so happy for the guy. I was ecstatic. So the A1 Grand Prix page, we're going to have that up for a while. If you guys don't like it, tell us. If you guys like it, let us know. We've updated some of our photos, including Desiree. Desiree's now up. She's out of the garage, and her face is on the website. Just click the About Us button. Also, take the survey on the podcast page. No need to give any personal information. This survey is so we can provide better sponsors and upgrade our website and podcast quality. Thanks to Howell Productions for lending this equipment. Without these mics and mixing board, it'd be back to a very noisy podcast. So thanks, Matt, at Howell Productions. Also, if anyone else is interested in cross-promotion, either through our podcast or website, please contact us at info@f1weekly.com. To check us out on iTunes, Podcast Nova, Podcasting.net, Odeo, Podcast Alley, and Yahoo Podcasts, all these have direct links from our website. And remember, you can rate our podcasts in the podcast page on our site. So there you have it. Podcast 11 is a wrap. Good night, Steve.
Good night, Clark.
Good night, David. Dave.
This is Desiree for F1Weekly.com, thanking you, the subscribers and members of our listening audience, for listening to our podcast, reporting and commenting on Formula One, the highest echelon of motorsport, a blend of technology, tradition, glamour, and guts, all wrapped up in a high-speed package. That's F1Weekly.com for all your Formula One needs.